Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, O Lord God, only you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord God of these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will put sinew and I will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you will live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly the sound of bones began to come together, bone to bone. And as I looked, the sinews and the flesh that came upon them, and skin began to cover them, but there was no breath in them. So he said to me, Son of man, prophesy to the breath, and say to the breath, come, O four winds, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Indeed, they have said, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord of God, the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up from your grave, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord, that when I've opened your graves, O my people, I've brought you out of your graves, that I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will place you in your land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we ask you today that we would not just dwell on your word, but we would encounter your word. Father, I pray that you would perform your word, that your presence would rest upon this word and that you would do it. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would pull us out of graves and put a fresh move of your spirit inside of us. I pray, Father, that you'd pull us out of the graves that we're standing in, that the assignment of spiritual death over your people's lives would be smashed and broken, and that you'd bring us into a new season of abundant life. Father, we ask you that your wind would blow upon this place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm doing something a little different today. I feel like I have a clear word from the Lord. I feel like it's a defining word. If you're online watching right now, I feel like this is one of the ones that we're going to be coming back to a little bit. And I don't want to rush through this and miss it all for the sake of time. But I do want to get in as much as I can, as quick as I can, because I feel like we're going to return to this word over and over and over again, because I feel like this is what God is doing. It was actually on the first night of the conference, I asked the Lord, what are you going to do at this conference? And he gave me Ezekiel 37, and he told me that he was going to breathe. He's like a move of his spirit was going to get released over that weekend. And so I opened up with it. We read out of Ezekiel 37. We hit on it a couple times and God moves powerfully. And then yesterday I get a random phone call from a dear friend of mine, Phil Zaldetti. He is an incredible prophetic friend. He never calls me unless God is saying something really clear to him. And we had a couple of things to talk about, but he called me up and he says, Jamie, God's moving right now and you guys are in a revival and it's called the revival of Ezekiel 37. So he said to me yesterday, completely confirmed what God was saying. And so I feel like we need to look into and understand what God is doing in this passage, and I feel like God's going to move on it. Is that all right? Here's what I believe that God is doing. I believe God is turning his attention and ours to our standing graves, the place where we have camped out without hope, just slowly dying. And I feel like there's something about recognizing that we've literally camped out on shallow graves and we didn't even realize it. And it has everything to do in connection to the loss of hope. And, you know, when you look at this story, you see, here's what the word, the entire purpose of the prophetic word is this. Ezekiel 37, verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, the Lord, behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves. I will bring you into the land of Israel so that you will know that I am the Lord. This is the entire purpose of it is this, is that he wants to take his church out of the grave. But we have to understand what is the grave, because what we see here is not just like a burial service. We don't see headstones in a gateway and people mourning over the loss of life. We actually, the Lord brings Ezekiel to a valley and says, look at them. Guys, realize a valley was created at the base of a mountain of an incline. And he looks and you see, and he can see the bones resting on the surface of the earth. And we're not talking about a people that were buried in honor. We're talking about a nation that died where they were standing. No one came to watch. A whole nation died right where they were standing in shallow graves. They died because they lost hope. It actually says that. It says that our bones are dry, we've been cut off, and we've lost all of our hope. They were slain. They were vulnerable to attack of a foreign nation, and they stood there immobilized, and they were overcome by their hopelessness, and they died where they were standing. And he goes, look at that valley right there. I'm gonna take you out of the pit of hopelessness where you stopped moving, you stopped running, you saw the mountain before you, and you determined that it was not worth going forward in, and you stopped, you laid down, and you died. And he goes, I'm gonna pick you out of your pit of hopelessness and despair, and I'm gonna bring you to Israel. And one of the things we have to understand about Israel is that Israel is not just the land that they were promised. I'm going to bring you into greener pastures. That's not what he's talking about here. He goes, I'm going to bring you into the land of Israel. Israel does not just represent a good land to them when they were slaves. I'm going to give you a home. It actually, what it represents is the dwelling place of the presence of God. It was a covenant God made with man that says, I have created you for the purpose of dwelling, and I've chosen Israel as my dwelling place, and I'm gonna give you a home in the dwelling place in the land that I have chosen. And what we have to understand is that the covenant and the promise given to Israel is that they would forever become the dwelling place of the presence of the Lord. And when he says this, he says, look at that valley of dry bones. Look at that nation that just stood there, rolled over and died. And they literally just fell to the ground and no one came to watch. Look at those guys. They isolated themselves. They were hopeless and despair. Do you see those dry bones? Because listen, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to take people out of the valley of hopelessness where they're standing still and dying, and I'm going to bring them into their kingdom identity, which is to flourish and to thrive. You were created for Israel, not for the valley. You were created to dwell in the presence of the Lord, not into the valley of despair. You were created to thrive. You belong there. And what we have to, like, I use this analogy in the first service. I've used it all the time because it's a good one. But you guys remember the Snickers commercials? You know, you're not you when you're hungry. My favorite one is like they're in the lumber yard and they're cutting wood and these burly guys, right? And they go, oh man, John's having a day. And the camera pans over and it's Roseanne. And she's like cutting like trees and she's like, ah, my back. And the guys look at each other and they toss him a Snickers and he bites it. And it's a big burly man. And he goes, oh, thanks guys, I was hungry. How many of us know that like you're not you when you're not living in the presence of God? You're grumpy, you're cranky, you're discouraging, you're a little dirty. You're just not you when you're in the presence of the Lord. You're hopeless, you're prone to worry, you're not fun to be around. You were created for the presence of God. You were created, you belong in the presence of God, not in the valley of despair. You were created to continue to move, not to camp out. And this is the word that he gives here. He goes, listen, you guys have camped out and you died, but I'm going to take you out of the valley. I'm going to bring you to Israel. I'm going to bring you into the land of flourishing in my presence. I'm going to bring you into the land. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you and you are going to flourish. God is turning his attention and ours to the graves that we're standing in. The places that we've camped out in without hope, just waiting to slowly die. What am I talking about? I'm talking about our marriages that we're just completely avoiding the problems and we're slowly dying and just hoping that somehow, someday it's gonna move. But the reality is we're hopeless. I'm talking about the family situations, the anxieties, the worries, the pains. I'm talking about the workplaces. I'm talking about the mentalities and thoughts that we're living with. We're literally standing in a grave hoping something's gonna just change, but our hope is empty and void, and we've immobilized ourselves because we've so yielded our hearts and our minds to the valley of despair. Does that make sense? And God wants to pull us out of our graves. When we understand like what's happening, Ezekiel 37, he's like, I'm going to pull you out of that grave. I'm bringing you to somewhere flourishing. He then gives Ezekiel three assignments. And he goes, in order to do that, I'm going to do three things. In order to take you out of the place that you're standing there and dying, for me to pull you out of that place and to bring you into the land of flourishing, we're going to do three things. And he asks him the first question. And he goes, Ezekiel, look at those bones. Hey, Ezekiel, can those bones live? The first thing he does is that God tests Ezekiel's faith. I'm going to use you to breathe life. I'm going to use you to command my purposes and plans to enter in. I'm going to use you to cause the rattling of bones and to cause an army to be raised up. But I need to know, do you believe with me? Do you believe in the realm of impossibility? Do you believe in the divine purposes and plans that I have for this nation that you're looking at? Because if you don't, I can't partner with unbelief. God never has and he never will. He cannot partner with our unbelief. And then let me present this, because in what I'm presenting is a dichotomy. Not only am I going to ask us to begin to look at the graves that we're standing in right now in our lives and the situations that we're slowly dying, we've lost all hope for, and we're just waiting for a suddenly. In those areas of our life, not only do we need to begin to recognize belief, but how many of us know we need to begin to have belief for the people that don't have belief? Like even my prayer this morning was, God, if there's anybody coming in that doesn't understand, is not here to press in, that doesn't have belief, I'm asking you that my belief would be enough, that you would crash in. How many of you guys know that we need to actually partner with what God is doing in this hour to do this for other people? And he looks and he says, can these bones live? And here's the thing, we have to come out of agreement with what we see, and we have to come into agreement with divine possibility. We have to come out of agreement with what we see, and we have to come into agreement with divine possibility. The valley was created by hopelessness, and hopelessness was created by our agreement with the lie that was sown to steal our hope. Hope is created by reliance in God and lost by our reliance in our abilities. The reality is there's so many circumstances, so many situations, things that we're walking through and we haven't seen change or things haven't moved, and we look at it and we go, it's hopeless. I got to create a plan B. I got to get an exit strategy. I got to do this. I got to change my ways. And all the while, God's saying, look at the valley, can they live? Look at the situation, can it live? And where we say, no, God, it can't live, God can't move there. God is inviting us to see what only he can see, so that he can cause us to do what only he can do. In Colossians 2:8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a condition of the world that looks at the ways of the world and the things going on in our lives and says, there's nothing you can do. You just got to grind through it and get through it. But the reality is God's inviting us saying, can these bones live? Can this be a life-giving situation? Can I move in this place? Can I use your marriage right now as an incubator for my promises? Can I use your family? Look at your relationship with your children. You're telling me that they're angry and they're hurt and they're running from God, all this stuff. Can these bones live? Come on, you're looking at your workplace. I don't know. It'll never change. I need this. I need that. Can these bones live? You're looking at your own hurt, your own pain, your brokenness. I'll probably never be different. I'll never get past that. I'll never have this. Can these bones live? It all begins with coming out of agreement with the lie, coming into agreement with the realm of possibility that God is inviting us to believe in. Does that make sense? We have to come out of agreement. We have to come out of agreement with the condition of the world that we see and come into agreement with the divine possibility that's percolating in heaven. Secondly, he says this, Ezekiel's like, yeah, Lord, you know. Listen, here's the good news. It is, you might not have a resounding, yes, they can live. But you might be like, well, you know, and that was enough. Why? Because Ezekiel didn't respond with confidence, but in his ability to see it, but he did respond in confidence that the Lord God alone, he stands alone, and he's the one that knows and can do this thing. He put his trust off of his own ability and he put his trust in the Lord, and that was enough. Secondly, he says this, all right, so then prophesy to the bones, Ezekiel. He says, He says, prophesy to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of the bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you will live. And I will put tendons and flesh upon you and I'll cover you with skin and put breath in you and you will live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. And so he prophesies, how many of you guys know that it is not the prophecy that brought the life? He partnered with what God said, because what he had to do is he had to align his belief, his words, his confessions, and decisions to the hope that God was revealing in the moment. Can these bones live? So prophesy it. What is he saying? So declare something that you can't see. Start living out a reality that you can't see. Start living out a reality that nobody else can see. Start making a confession that only you can confess. If you can't look at your problem with hope, you won't live by faith. You'll live by denial. The reality is that sometimes our confessions are aligned to the situation, not to our beliefs. Sometimes we go like, it's not looking good. It's really bad. Things are rough. It'll probably never be good. But I trust God. No, you don't. If you can't look at your situation with hope, that's denial. You can dress it up any way you want, but your confessions reveal where your faith actually really is. Maine's so hard. Hard to live here. I don't know what God's ever going to do here. But I trust God to do something. No, you don't. The reality is, can these bones live? Yes, God, they can. So now align your confessions and prophesy with me. There's going to be flesh on these bones. Come on. We have to begin to align our confessions over our marriage, over our children, over our circumstances, over our situations. Stop complaining about your job if you want to see life come into your job. If you want to see the valley of dry bones stand as an army, then every place where you're standing in a shallow grave, in every place that you're standing, begin to declare life and prophesy what you know is possible. Come out of agreement with the confessions and begin to even live a life and begin to shape a life that represents what you actually believe. The reality is, I heard this, it says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things that we do not see. Faith is a substance of things that we hope for. Our hope is our belief concerning God's ability. Our faith is our response to what we believe to be true. If I believe that God's going to heal my marriage, then I'm going to invest in my marriage. If I feel that God is going to heal the relationship with my child, then I'm going to call my child. I can say I believe God is doing it, but I won't make the phone call. That's not faith, that's denial. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I heard Chris Valison say it like this. He said, you can be like, I have faith for financial miracles, but you're not balancing your checkbook because you're afraid that if you balance it, it's gonna be negative. And so you start writing checks in faith for money you don't have. That's not faith, that's denial, because you can't even look at your checkbook. If you can't look at your circumstances with hope, it's not faith, it's denial. Why? Because faith is a substance of things that you hope for. Is this making sense? The reality is that if we actually believe that God is going to breathe life on dry bones, then our life should look like the prophetic belief in what God's about to do. We're not just going to align to what he has done. We're going to align to what he's about to do. If I believe that God, we had a church of 10 people and God showed me 1,000 coming in the valley of dry bones, God's going to bring a harvest of 1,000 souls. How many of us know I better not staff for 10. I better staff for 1,000. If I staff for 10, I'll die in the valley. But if I staff for 1,000, then I'll be ready to receive when the bones begin to rattle. Amen. Prophesy then, Ezekiel. Prophesy to the bones. To prophesy means to align your life to the invisible, unseen reality, not to the current situation, but the one to come. We have to actually come so into agreement with what's about to happen that our life for a moment looks tone deaf. It has to look irregular because it doesn't match the moment. It doesn't match the season. It doesn't match the history. It matches the future. And if others can't see the future, they won't understand the moment of preparation. Isaiah 54, single barren woman, for you're about to have children. And then we say, so stretch out your tent pegs. Begin to make the house. You know, we got a lot of pregnant bellies and a lot of life that's coming. And how many of you guys know that when we see the belly, we go, get the nursery ready and get this and get that and get the diapers, because we can see what is getting ready to come. But even in the spirit, if you close your eyes and see the pregnancy of the moment and the hour, would you prepare for its coming, or would you be caught off guard when it comes? I've always found that our babies came when we were ready. They always came. Like, our babies never came. Like, we did all home births. Our babies never came when the pool wasn't filled in the bedroom. It'd be the night we're like, hey, let's fill the pool. Fill the pool the next day, baby's coming, you know? There's something about readiness that releases the breakthrough. We have to align for what's coming, not where we've been. Does that make sense? In Romans 4:8, it says, against all hope, Abraham had hope, and in so doing, he became the father of many nations. He did not waver in unbelief because of the deadness of his wife's womb, but he was persuaded that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. We have to become fully persuaded so that our hope would result in activity of faith that makes room for what God wants to do in our life. And lastly, he says this. You guys all right? And he said to me, verse 9, so prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they would live. So I prophesied, he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. There's no ways around it. Any theologian will tell you, Ezekiel 37 is a messianic prophecy about the salvation of Israel, and the Jew and the Gentile, and God giving us the Holy Spirit. There's no way around it. The four winds are the Holy Spirit. It's Acts chapter 2, where all of a sudden a mighty rushing wind came into the upper room, and that word is ruach, breath, manifests as a wind, and life came into the disciples in that moment. Ezekiel 37 is a prophecy concerning Pentecost, that you would come out of your grave where you died in the hopelessness of religion that was immovable, and you came into new life of the Holy Spirit. And here's the moment. He goes, all right, do you agree that these bones can live? I agree. All right, align your lives and start living like life is coming. All right, we've done it. Now prophesy and command for my breath to come. And here's the thing, is that God wants to pour out his spirit where you're standing, not where you're going. I'm gonna say that again. God wants to pour out his spirit where you're standing, not where you're going. We have to turn our current graves into places of encounter with God. We typically believe God is somewhere else, but we don't even realize our current grave is a gateway to encounter. Your personal revival isn't found somewhere else, but right where you're standing, if you'd invite the wind of God here. We're not familiar with this, but when we're in a difficult place or in a place that feels like death, we think like we've got to get out of this so we can experience life. You didn't even realize that he actually wants you to call on his spirit right where you're standing. That actually the places of compromise in your life and the places of apathy and the places of stagnancy are the very place that he wants to pour out his spirit on. And you thought it was the place you're running from, but it's actually the place you're encountering God in. In Hosea chapter 2, it says this. It says, Hosea chapter 2, you know, this is a prophetic word. I'm almost done. We can go get our kids and go to your barbecue. But in Hosea chapter 2, there's this word, and this is prophetic imagery of like the nation of Israel, and they've gone after other lovers, and they've been worshiping other gods, and God actually calls Hosea to call her like a prostitute who has a loving husband at home but keeps running out to her other lovers. And didn't you know that there's safety at home, and that I love you, and that we are in love? Why do you keep running after the pigs? Why do you have to keep going to the muck? I want you right here. And the whole prophetic word is, I'm going to woo you back to myself, right? And in Hosea chapter 2, he says there, he says this, so therefore, I'm going to allure her into the wilderness. Oh man, that's the place you're trying to escape. That's your prison. He actually says, no. I'm gonna woo her back into the wilderness, and I'm gonna speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her back her vineyards, and I will turn the valley of Achor, that word Achor, in Hebrew actually means compromise. I'm gonna turn her valley of compromise into a doorway of hope. and there she'll respond as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, no longer call me my master. In that day, I'll remove the names of the Baals from your lips, and no longer their names will be invoked by you any longer. And he says this, I'm going to woo you into the valley of Achor, and the valley of Achor is going to become the doorway that actually leads to your hope coming back. And not only is he going to be coming back to your hope, but you've been standing in this grave for a long time. You've gotten weary and old. You've changed in that place. You're not who you used to be. You lost your hope. You became like jaded and weird and discouraged and frustrated. You're looking at everybody with a twisted eye now. You're waiting for somebody to hurt you, looking over your shoulder all the time. You live out of fear, out of avoidance and denial. You've gotten jaded and weird. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make you as in the days of your youth again. You remember the days you came out of Egypt and you saw me fight your enemy for you and you saw me split the Red Sea and you thought, God can do anything. You got weird over these 40 years. You don't think I can do anything anymore. You forgot my possibilities. You started believing more in the wilderness than in my ability to meet you here. I'm gonna make you as in the days of your youth again. So here's what you're gonna do. Call the four winds of heaven. Say from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Here's the great prophetic fulfillment of that. Ready? I'm just gonna come from everywhere. Yeah. North, south, east, west, northwest, southwest, east. I don't care. I almost said east, west. I mean, that would be a miracle. I'm coming from every direction. Yeah. So invite, call for my spirit to come, that I would turn the valley of Achor into a doorway of encounter that would restore your hope and your joy and your life again. Because you are created to thrive, man. You belong in my presence. I'm bringing you out of a grave and I'm bringing you back into Israel, the place where you would cohabitate with the presence of God again. This is what God is doing right now, is he's taking us out of graves and he's bringing us into his cohabitation. God wants to dwell with you day in and day out, morning and night. He wants to visit you in the night, visit you in the day. He wants you to become acquainted with his power. He wants you to know his name, for you to lose the names of the Baals that you've been invoking. What are the Baals that you've been invoking? It is a place of sinful compromise. The things you keep running back to, it is shame and worry. Some of us have been worshiping at the altar of worry far too long. And it's time to come back to the altar of faith and expectation and liberty and his power again and belief for him to move. Stop worshiping that demonic spirit of anxiety and come back to hope. God wants us to learn who he is again. Stop sacrificing at the altar of disappointment and come back to hope again. Yeah. Come back to that youthful zeal where we first met the Lord and believed that anything was possible. And he says, and now call on my spirit and see if I will not put life in you. And not only will you be an army out of a grave, but you're gonna be an army full of life. And not only are we called to do this in our own life and get out of the shallow graves, but it's time for us to look at graves and call bones to stand as an army. To look at Central Maine, to look at our workplace and go, that I see dry bones that are about to become an army. And so I'm gonna go in and begin to call the four winds of heaven to come on this place. To actually step into your marriage, into your family. Memorial Day weekend, some of you are gonna go to some family stuff and go, how am I gonna navigate all this awkward tension of pain that I have with my family? Man, maybe it's a valley of dry bones. It's time to call the four winds of heaven on. See what God will do with your family. Whatever situation that is, God's inviting you to be in Ezekiel and to call his breath in. Is that all right? Why don't you guys stand with me? I believe with everything inside of me, that's what's going on right now. I feel like this is what the Lord is doing. And listen, I know I look young, but I've been around for a long time, man. I have seen some moves of God start and stop, and I've grieved in my spirit. And by golly, if I see this one start and stop, I'll wait for the next one, duh. But I'm just getting too old to see movement start and stop just because we got distracted by something else. You go, oh, Jamie, you're 36. I'm far too old. I promise you, I'm far too old to to see another move of God get sabotaged by our own comfort and our own familiarity with other stuff. Far be it from me that I won't continue to call us into what God is doing and say, let us wake up every morning with a renewed expectation saying, come Holy Spirit. Far be it from me if I don't wake up every day and say, Father, from the four winds of heaven, come and breathe on this place again. Far be it from me to see pain and brokenness and not say, I see an army. Can these dry bones live? Father, you alone know. Of course they can live. Of course you can move. Yes. I feel like this week, and over the next coming weeks, I feel like there's going to be situations that feel hard and difficult, or they feel like things of the past are coming to the surface again. But I feel like God is saying, do not miss the opportunity to prophesy breath into the valley of the dry bones. Do not miss the opportunity to invite my presence into what feels like a place of compromise or exposure or whatever it is, or vulnerability, and see if it won't become a doorway of encounter for you. God is after your wholeness. God wants to yank bodies out of graves right now. And I declare this in the 9, I'll declare it at the 11. I want to be a grave robbing church, that we would plunder hell of every hopeless soul that has been after and sowing seeds of lies in, and that we would make a different noise than the rest of the world that says there's no hope, there's no hope, there's no hope. That we would be a generation of people, that we would be a community, a remnant that says, all I see is rattling bones. Father, I ask you that you would return faith right now. Can you hold your hands out to the Lord this morning? And can you just begin to ask him for his breath to come? Say it with me. Father, come from the north. Father, come from the south. Come from the east and the west and breathe upon my life. God, yank me out of every dry grave that I've been standing in. Every place where I've been immobilized, every place where I've lost hope, would you yank me out of shallow graves, and would you pour out your spirit in us today, God? God, would you release a fresh move of your presence? Come, Holy Spirit. Go on, lift your voice. Just begin to ask him, God, pour out your spirit on my life right now. Pour out your spirit on my life. The very Ruach of God, the very breath of God, would you breathe right now?